You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. Today's message comes from lead pastor Andy Hunt. We pray that it encourages you in your faith journey.
Today we're going to open up the Word of God. Today we're looking at number three in our series on spiritual gifts, which is about the body of Christ working together as one body underneath Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. These gifts, as we talk about them, it's important for us to understand they're not mine to give. Like when you become a member of the church, we don't come forward and go, all right, you get this and you get this, or there's a secret room out the back with all these gifts on a shelf that you get to choose from. But these gifts are given by God himself, by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit. He has distributed them to the body as he so desires, so that the body might be healthy and able to operate for the purposes of glorifying Christ. In April of 2022, a couple of years ago, Time Magazine published an article online titled this, "It's Harder Than Ever to Care About Anything." What a depressing title. As a summary to what a lot of people were feeling at that time as a result of 2 years of living through a response to a pandemic. Now, that period of time no doubt was significant for all of us. But the truth is, whenever we have moments like this, where we're looking around and we're struggling to make sense of like what is going on in the world, the inevitable question pops up. People will ask, like, what's the point of this? What are we doing here? And then eventually turn that inwardly and say, like, what's my purpose in this? And I've heard it said this way: a life without purpose is like rearranging the furniture on the Titanic, killing time until the inevitable end. Let's not make sure we don't have an attitude towards life that way, that we don't feel like we are just doing day by day. We're just going through the days until the end of our lives come. We have a purpose. God has given you, each one of us, and me included, a purpose. And our purpose ultimately, you know, I love when people ask this question because we get to say, look at what the Bible says. The Bible is clear. What is our purpose? It is to glorify God, to enjoy him forever, to be in relationship with him. We were made for relationship with God, but then even in that, God did not create us just to be alone, but God created us for community. We created us to be around other people, church body. And so as we continue our series today, my hope is that from these truths that we hear from the Word, that they are a motivation and an encouragement to you when it comes to your own role within the body, and that you might find an even greater purpose or another aspect of purpose for your life within the context of the body of believers. Let's just take a moment and pray, prepare our own hearts. Father God, we just give you so much thanks and praise for the gathering of your church. We thank you for your Word, which is open for us. We thank you for your Spirit, which is moving in our church and in our lives, Lord God. We thank you for Jesus, who we worship this day through the songs that we sing, through the application of your Word to our lives, through the way that we build our character, Lord God. We give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And Father, we pray that as you open your Word today, it would do what you have purposed for it to do in us. Lord God, we lay down our own ideas about what we think this and what we think that, and we say, God, what do you want to say? What do you want to say to us today? So have your way in our hearts, have your way in this church, in Jesus' name. Amen. So over the past few weeks, let me give a brief summary and we'll get on to a couple of gifts that we're going to talk about today. We've spoken about the Holy Spirit and his role within the Godhead, primarily to save us and to sanctify us, but also in his wisdom to give gifts to his people for the glory of his name and for the betterment of us, for us as believers. And there's a number of New Testament passages that give us insight into what these gifts are, and it's made clear to us that there's a gift for everyone for the purpose of helping each other. And this is really important, this part here. It was for the New Testament believers, and it's as important for us to understand today as it was back then. Because it wasn't about background, and it wasn't about training, and it wasn't about nationality, it wasn't about position, it wasn't even about age. No one could say that I am ineligible to receive a gift outside of Christ because of any of these things. Because their eligibility for these gifts came from being in Christ. If you are in Christ, then you are eligible for these gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says this, a spiritual gift is given to each one of us. Why? So that we can help each other. And one of the questions that I was asking last week as Nick was speaking, and I was asking as I've been doing study on this, is why us? Why has God in his wisdom decided to give these gifts of the Spirit to us? Because if I ask you the question today, can the Holy Spirit heal someone directly? Can he? Yes. Not a trick question. Yes. Can the Holy Spirit reveal revelation of the Scripture to us directly? Yes, he can. Can the Holy Spirit give you encouragement when you need it at any time? He can. Can the Holy Spirit do a miracle in someone's life that they would be provided for physically or financially or with regard to food or clothing? Yes, of course he can. And he works directly in many more areas than this. And yet, he has also decided to fold us in on this process, that the outflowing power of the Holy Spirit would work through us. It's crazy to think. Remember, whose power is it? God's power. And then look at what Jesus says about this right before he tells the disciples the Holy Spirit is coming. In John 14, 12 to 17. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Now, don't make the mistake today of thinking this is an invitation to invent your own Christian vending machine where you just pop in what you need and it's going to spit back out. Whatever I need, I hear it is. That is not what this is about. It says he will do it so that Christ will be exalted and bring glory to the Father. And then look at what he says next, verse 15. If you love me, what are you to do? Obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. So why has God decided to use us in this way? Because we are his children. Paul says in Romans 8 that when we receive the Spirit at the point of salvation, that we are made children of God's and co-heirs with Christ of God's glory. God is a Father who wants us to experience the joys of all the gifts and the abundance that he has. Believers are, we are the representatives of Jesus here on earth with the mandate to continue the works of the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to know, if you've ever had this thought, you need to delete it from your mind, that you matter. You matter. You matter to God and you matter to the kingdom of believers. You matter to the kingdom because we all have, as we've looked at a couple of weeks ago, this unique gift mix to us that can be used within the body of believers. The truth is that we need each other. The truth is that I need you. The truth is also that you need me. And that the person next to you needs you as well. Now, firstly, of course, we all need Jesus. Number one, we all need Jesus. This is the first point. This whole conversation about gifts of the Spirit is not for you and is aside if you don't have Christ. But if you are in Christ, then this is for you. We all need Jesus. But after that, we all need each other because it is about the whole body of Christ working together for the glory of God. So we're going to get on to, I've got three gifts to talk about today. Before we do that, turn to the person next to you and say, I need you, I need you, I need you. I need your warm hands today, maybe. I need you. Now turn to the person on the other side that you forgot about and say, I need you too. I do need you as well. We do. And for those watching online, hey, you're part of the body as well. And we're so glad to have you with us too. So let's look at a few more of these gifts today. If you can pop that gift list up on the screen for us. We looked at it from three different passages. There are more, but these are the ones we're looking at this point in time. And last week, Nick shared primarily on the vocal gifts, prophecy, word of knowledge, exhortation, encouragement, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and then also some of those gifts that look at the felt needs, like serving and like helps and kindness and mercy. And today we're going to start by looking at a gift of faith. 1 Corinthians 12:9 says this, the same Spirit gives great faith to another. Now, with a number of these gifts, what we see here is that there is a gifting for something, but there is also something that we as Christians need to experience or can experience, or our spiritual disciplines for us as well. And so the question is, how is that a different faith than what every believer has? Because faith for the Christian, it's important for us to understand, is not blind. And I always say this when I'm talking to people and we talk about faith in a God that you can't see, I'm like, it's not blind faith. We're not all stupid and just thinking, oh, we'll just go along with this. It's based on something that we see. It's based on informed trust. We trust in God, but it is informed as we do that. And all of us Christians have experienced faith. Look at what Hebrews 11:6 says. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. If we have been saved, it's only happened by faith or through faith. Ephesians 2:8-9 in the ESV. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Praise the Lord. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And so if you're a Christian today, it means that you've had a faith encounter. You've decided that you're going to put your informed trust in and on Jesus Christ. And so that's that salvific faith. Based on that, our salvation involved there. But that's not the gift of faith. Then what is the spiritual gift of faith? I've heard it said this way, and I've got it on the screen for you. The gift of faith refers to the unusual capacity of a person to recognize in a given situation that God intends to do something and to trust God for it until he brings it to pass. Or said like this, the gift of faith is a spirit-given ability to see something that God wants done and to sustain unwavering confidence that God will do it regardless of seemingly insurmountable obstacles. I think with that knowledge, it's not a coincidence today that we hear about Marita and we hear about Amari, because what they're doing in changing lives over there, most people who start a project like that, there's someone involved in the initial stages that have this gift of faith. There's an aspect of this at work where God has birthed an idea or birthed a passion or birthed a dream and gifted a person with faith and confidence in God to see it come to pass. You might think of an example in the Word of God. We'll look at an Old Testament example of Joshua and Caleb. You might see yourself or someone else like in this category today that, you know, what did they do? What was their attitude towards the promised land? Like, come on, let's go get it. Like, we're going to take the promised land. Let's go, everyone. You know, God says it's ours, and so let's do it. I know that there are giants there, but God is with us. And they have that kind of, you know, that faithful attitude towards what God has said in the first place. And then there's everyone else in the room. And I'm in the room. And we say, you know, to those people, like, look, we appreciate your passion and we value your ideas. But we've had a team meeting and we just don't feel it's the right time. And I'm not sure we have the right number of resources. And we've analyzed the giants, and they seem to be well-armed and well-fed, and they're much larger than us. And so we have made the decision to just stand back, and we're just going to stay here in the desert and die. So off you guys go with your gift of faith, and we might just stand here. The people with the gift of faith are like, come on, let's go. God is with us. And the rest of us, first of all, see the obstacles. People with the gift of faith are unwavering. They're steadfast. They are hope-filled. And they have a supernatural peace that God is at work. They bring life into a room. And they are a gift. You are a gift if you have this gift. You are a gift to the rest of us, the body of Christ. The rest of us that still love God but might be happy to die in the desert. But as with all of these gifts, there is a caution for us to remember. And the caution for people with the gift of faith is this, that sometimes these people can get frustrated with other people that might have the gift of administration or the gift of leadership. And if we're not careful, that frustration, you know, that questioning of the vision, that questioning of what's going on, I see it, but explain to me how that's going to work. And they take that as criticism of themselves, but sometimes flow that forward and say, well, that's criticizing God, because God's the one who has given us this vision. And they have to be careful that they see those things in the right light. Having a gift of faith is not at the same time glossing over all of the details and not about pushing forward at all costs, but it's being about what's solid in what God says and who He is. And we must all remember in the purpose of these gifts, the purpose is that Christ would be glorified, that God would be glorified, and that the church would be strengthened. And so if you have the gift of faith, steward it well. Let it be on display because you are a gift. You are a blessing to the rest of us. So that's a gift of faith. The second one is the gift of discernment of spirits. 1 Corinthians 12:10 says He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. The ESV says the ability to distinguish between spirits. Discernment is not simply knowing things, and it's not the same as the word of knowledge or prophecy that Nick spoke about last week. Discernment really primarily is concerned with the source of that message, the source of that behavior. It's looking behind the curtain. It's discerning that. But as Christians, as with the gift of faith and as with faith itself, we are all called to be discerning. This is a spiritual discipline. Remember, spiritual disciplines and spiritual gifts are two different things. You're not going to have the spiritual gift of reading your Bible. It's a spiritual discipline. The spiritual gift of prayer, it's the spiritual discipline that we have. And the same can be said for discernment as well. We are to know God. We are to know His truth. We are to know what the Scriptures say. And forever, let's be honest, for all of us in this area of growth and knowing the Scriptures, we are all on that growth journey. I was thinking just before I got up here, I just was thanking God. Thank you, God, that You have allowed me to be used because I'm a work in progress. We are all works in progress. And even in this area of knowing the Word of God, we are all works in progress. Look at Hebrews 5:14 about our knowledge of the Word. It says, "But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." The number one question you can say when it comes to discernment is, what does the Bible say? And that is something for every single one of us, gifted discernment or not, is the way that we discern is we say, what does the Bible say? This is the clearest way to discern which spirit is at work. Does it line up with Scripture or does it not? Does it line up with the character of God as revealed in His Word or does it not? God is the one who determines right from wrong. And it's revealed to us in the Word. And let's be honest, we live in a day and age where more and more it seems like the scales are tipping to where what God says is evil, the world is saying is good. More and more there's that deception that is coming, and there's that crossover, and there's all this stuff going on. But we need to understand that we need to look at the Word of God to determine what is good and what is evil, because what God says goes. What God says goes. That is our number one way of discerning. And so if you ever get in that position where you're looking and you're hearing and you're seeing and all these sorts of things, you're like, maybe I'm just not sure how to think about that, go to the Word. And if the Word doesn't explicitly tell you, look at the character of God. Get some further understanding and some further context and talk to some people who know the Word and who know God, and have them speak into it as well. It's not about the persuasibility. Is that a word? I'm not sure. Let's roll with it. Do you know what I mean? Let's not look at the persuasibility of someone's argument as to whether we think it's best or not. What? No, not persuasiveness. Persuasibility. Not a spiritual gift, by the way. And so we all have this responsibility of discernment. You as individuals yourselves, and we as church leadership as well, to discern. But Paul does go further than that, of knowing and discerning from the Bible. And he says there's some who have been given the gift of discerning of spirits. And so what's the difference? Let's look at this description on the screen. The gift of discerning of spirits is the special ability God gives to some members of the body of Christ, which enables them to know with assurance whether certain behavior purported to be of God is in reality divine, human, or satanic. And so if you've got the gift of discernment, you will have more of a sense of others than what might be going on spiritually. And though there are many different gifts spoken about in the Bible, it's helpful, spirits in the Bible, it's helpful to think about this in these three different ways. Number one, the sensing of the Spirit of God, which is this way. Number two is the sensing of the human, sensing of the flesh, fleshly spirit behind things. And then there's sensing of the satanic, sensing of the evil. And it might be shaped in different ways across those three categories. Let me explain it further for you. There are some who just know when God is close. And I've had this within our church before. And we'll have a church meeting and people say, man, great service. It was a great meeting. Great job with worship, Steph. That was a great time of worship. And then there's some people that come up to you afterwards and they say, oh my goodness. Like, did you feel the presence of God? Did you know God in that moment? They're discerning that the Spirit of God is there in a tangible way in those moments. Some people have that. Wow, Jesus was right here. Secondly, they can discern when flesh is involved. That's not, it's something that's not noticeable on the surface, on the outside of someone, but someone can just sense that something's off. Like in an example here, if I've shared something before or been in a staff meeting or something like that, and nothing of what I'm saying is wrong, but someone's like, something's going on behind the surface there. Like, what's going on? Are you all right? Like, what's been happening? There's this discernment that is your heart right on this? I just want to check your motive on this because I'm just sensing something. There's that discernment. And then thirdly, there's those that have the antenna up that sense evil. And these people know when they walk into a room, they can either feel a demonic presence or they can see them or they just know that they're there. And I've been with people with this gift before who can pinpoint as we're walking down a street and they can pinpoint on the other side of the road that there's a dwelling there, that there's a house, that there's evil that has happened, is happening, there's something going on there. Or you arrive, and this has happened to me before. And so, like with all of these, we spoke about a couple of weeks ago that even if this is not, you would say this is not a gift that I have been given, the Holy Spirit can do whatever He wants. And the Holy Spirit can use you in whatever circumstance He wants within all these things. But to be in this situation where you're in a different city or you're in a different town and you land and you're in this place and everyone else is like, man, this is, let's have a holiday. This is awesome. And you're like, this is not a good place. Or these people that we've been around, these are not good. There's some evil. There's some evil at work in here. There is some evil going on here. And you're able to sense that. Now, what's important, as with every other gift, or it's critical even, is for us to remember who it is that gives the gift. Who is it? It's God. It's the Holy Spirit. He is the one who gives these gifts in the first place, and He gives them for a reason. So we've got Mark 8, 32 and 33. We want to read this together. This is where Jesus is telling His disciples that he will suffer many things and He will be killed and He will rise again. And He says this in verse 32 of Mark 8. He spoke plainly about this, about what was going to happen. And then Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him. I'm always surprised at that. Peter, what are you doing? But when Jesus turned and looked at His disciples, He rebuked Peter. Peter, what are you doing? And He said, get behind me who? Peter, get behind me Satan, He said. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Get behind me Satan. And of course it was Peter who was saying the words, but the source of what he was saying, what he was looking for, Jesus is saying was satanic. Peter is saying to Jesus, what are you doing? You don't need to go through with this. Exactly like what Satan was doing in tempting Jesus when he was in the wilderness. Remember, what is Satan's language? How does he speak? Lies, deception, that is his language. But what's interesting is that at a surface glance, what Peter was saying was a good thing. Jesus, we don't want you to die. And that's the truth about any good lie and about any deception. It has truth involved. The only way to know straight away is to look at the source of what's being said. And those with the gift of discerning of spirits need to remember why this gift exists. It exists that God might be glorified and that the body might be strengthened. So let's talk practically about this gift. If you believe you have this gift, there are some boundaries that need to be in place, because I wouldn't expect anyone within this assembly to walk up to anyone after church and say, "You've got a demon." Do I hear any amens? Because you're going to freak everyone out. Don't do that. But if there is something that you sense, first ask God, why? Why? Because He is the one who has given the gift. And so ask Him, God, why have you allowed me to see this? And secondly, what do you want me to do with this? Don't just go with what you think is the you. And it might be that you need to involve one of our pastoral team. Or we might want to involve your life group leader. Or if you've got a trusted relationship, you need to do that with someone. Because remember, the purpose of this gift is not so that you can stand up and say, "Yes, I see demons." Or, "Yes, you have evil in your life." Or, "Yes, you are a heretic." No. He's allowing us to discern so that we can know the presence of God is close. He's allowing us to discern so that we can see people set free from the demonic. He's allowing you to discern so that somebody's motives can be purified, so that there's more love and there's more purity within our church. That's what it is about. And so we need to see this gift exercised, as with all of the gifts, and we need to see it get exercised with these two things, with love and with humility. With love and with humility, as with all of the gifts. And so the last one I want to talk about today is the gift of miracles, 1 Corinthians 12:10. So in faith, discernment of spirits, and the gift of miracles, 1 Corinthians 12:10. He gives one person the power to perform miracles. Wow. The gift of miracles, says this definition, is the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to serve as human intermediaries through whom it pleases God to perform powerful acts that are perceived by observers to have altered ordinary course of nature. And now this is different than the specific gift of healing, gift of miracles. And I don't have time to separate and explain all of that right now. We'll get to that. But they are different. But they often go hand in hand. And the purpose of this gift here is explained to us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. It says this: "So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose." The gift of miracles here is used to authenticate the spoken truth about Jesus Christ, about the gospel. And this is really important for us to understand as we consider miracles. This points to their purpose. The purpose is to glorify God. And we see here the purpose being to confirm a salvation message. And while we're all instructed with the authority we have under Christ to pray for the sick, to deliver people from demons, to pray for the miraculous, and even for yourself, you know, like if you're sensing something in yourself or God's speaking to you about what's going on in your own mind or in your own self, you can say, like, "Enemy, no, no, no. I belong to Jesus." And the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, Philippians 2:10. But there are some for whom God has given a gift to see these things happen again and again, and there is an ease for you that you operate in this area of ministry. And again, we must stress, I've said it so many times, I can just keep saying it, what is their purpose? It's not that someone with the gift of miracles goes around and does that just to glorify themselves in the name of Jesus. The reason we pray for healing, for deliverance, for miracles is that Jesus would be glorified, that people would be set free. That is what the Holy Spirit is trying to do through all of these gifts, is to glorify the name of Jesus and for the body to be blessed. And in closing, I want to just wrap up with a few critical overarching thoughts to further reinforce how we're thinking about the gifts of the Spirit and last week's as well. And maybe worship team, you guys can come and we might sing that song that you had on the list that you didn't sing. Maybe do that one. That'd be great. And you can start playing. The first thing is this. We need to make sure that if we are getting to the point of pursuing these gifts or the outworking of those in our lives, we are not pursuing the gifts over our character, over godly character. Godly character must be pursued ongoingly. And it can't be because, again, if you begin operating and godly character is not the filter that you operate in, then it just becomes a bit of a mess, unfortunately. And it might be that you've seen that happen or you've heard of that happen or you've been in different ministries or seen different churches or seen people operating in this and you're like, man, that might be happening, but man, it just seems off. It's because character always, it's character before gifts, and that's for us, that's for all of us to understand as well. And the second thing is this about how we handle the gifts. But how we handle the gifts is the same about how we handle, I was thinking about this image about how we handle a crock pot coming out of the oven. This is, let me move those things out of the way. This is one of Cass's from home that she cooks bread. She bakes bread in this thing. It's very hard and very heavy. I'm probably going to scratch things, but you guys can start. That's all good. And you know, the bread is good. It's really good. She bakes some good bread. And it comes out of this, but there's, you know, she's got burn on her arm right now from baking bread and touching something like this, and it can hurt. And it's like this, you know, the gifts are good and what is in there is really good. But if not handled correctly, either we can get burnt by it or we can burn others by it as well. And we need to be careful. And I was thinking about it like this, you know, these gloves are what we use at home to keep safe. And I wrote on them today, you need to remember this, that it's as we put on love and as we put on humility that it means that we can operate in these gifts with protection and with making sure that my heart motives and what I'm doing here, God, I'm before you. I thank you. I thank you for trusting me enough, Lord God, as a work in progress that you are in your wisdom going to decide by the power of the Holy Spirit to work through me. Wow. Let me do that with love and with humility at the key of what I do so that I'm a blessing to the body of Christ and I'm not just throwing you a hot pot of bread, you know? You can take this. Love and humility, church. Let's make sure we continue to put on love and humility as we operate and look to operate in these gifts. But above all of that, I've said it before, God will do what God will do. Who am I to say what God can or cannot do with my life? And even with the gifts themselves, I'm aware of the church of our size that you've been under different teaching or you've been in different churches or you've seen the gifts operate or not seen them operate or you've had them taught on or not taught on or all these sorts of things. And with that knowledge, I want to tell you what we're trying to do here. We're trying to look to God. We're endeavoring to live obedient to His word, to grow into the healthiest version of the body of Christ that we can, that Jesus might be glorified to the greatest extent in our lives and in this church. And I want to close with this passage of Scripture. Mike, maybe you can come if you feel now's the time. I want to close with this passage of Scripture. You know, 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14 are where we get a lot of talk about the gifts of the Spirit. And sandwiched right in the middle of that, we get the lens that we are to see all of this through, which is this 1 Corinthians 13. And we most often hear this read at a wedding. And I'm sure you'll think about it differently now you're hearing it in context. I don't have it on the screens. I just want you to listen. Or you can read along if you've got it in front of you. 1 Corinthians 13. I'll start with the last line of 1 Corinthians 12. It says, "Now let me show you a way of life that is best of all." In the context of these gifts, let me show you a way of life that is best of all. 1 Corinthians 13. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. For love is patient, love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. The three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.